Welcome to the Context Machine, episode 683. I'm Brian Chaffin.
And I'm Jeff Gamet. Hey, check us out at our online home at contextmachine.io.
You can also use contextmachine.io to reach out to us or find us on Mastodon at Context Machine or on Blue Sky at contextmachine.bsky.social.
Yes, and also we have a new sponsor today. Today's show is sponsored by Bzigo.
Interesting. It's a new sponsor. Guess we're going to tell you more about them later in the show.
Yes, we are.
All right. Well, we've got some two bits of AI news to discuss today, right?
I believe so. Yes.
Disgust. Like, is that D-I-S-G-U-S-T or D-I-S-C-U-S-S-E-D?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Well, let's talk about the funner of the two. Apple is rumored to be in early discussions to acquire Perplexity.
Wow, Brian, that sounds interesting. What is Perplexity?
Perplexity is an LLM company similar to OpenAI that makes ChatGPT. Perplexity AI is, I think that's what they call it.
I've always just heard it Perplexity, but sure, could be Perplexity AI.
They also have a search engine and a chatbot that's apparently, they've got 15 million people using their various products around the world, which is not a lot.
No.
I mean, it's a lot of people, but it's not a lot relative to the juggernauts in the industry.
Right. You said juggernaut. I don't know why that entertained me so much.
I don't either. That's funny. I do have a report, a quick report. I asked someone hey, do you have a quick hit on Perplexity? And this person said, I used it a bit before ChatGPT had web search. It's good for citations, real-time data, etc., but I haven't used it at all since web search was added to ChatGPT.
Interesting. All right. Well, I've been using Perplexity some, because if we're not using these different services, at least experimentally, we're not in a position to actually be able to talk about them.
Yep.
And I'm actually preferring Perplexity to ChatGPT. I like the format for the responses that it gives. I like that it just automatically lists all of its sources for you when you're asking it a question. And it will also format an answer for you. For example, one of the things that I experimented with was asking Perplexity about options for replacing the Logitech remote.
Okay.
You remember the all-in-one Logitech remotes that controlled everything? I'm just drawing a blank on the name right now. But anyhow, they don't support them anymore. So at some point, those are just going to stop working.
Right.
And I'll need to replace that. And so I asked Perplexity, what are the options to replace that? And not only did it come back with a list of potential products, it gave me pros and cons for each, listed out what you should expect to pay, and the various places it found online where to buy the different products. And then even went farther and said, so if you're using Windows for everything, here's your better options. If you're using a Mac and Apple products, these are the ones that you should look at instead. And it did a really nice job of of breaking all of that out in a way that was human digestible. And it was much more useful than the results that I got from ChatGPT, because I figured, why not test it on both?
Yeah.
Anyhow, it feels much more Apple-like than ChatGPT.
Interesting. By the way, they support login with Google and login with Apple.
Mm-hmm.
Just they FYI, do. I just created an account as you were speaking. And they apparently have two levels of plan. One's a free plan, one's a pro plan. The pro plan is $20 a month. The free plan gets you unlimited basic searches, 3 pro searches per day. And you can upload 3 files per day, like, if you want to do that. The pro plan gets access to Perplexity Labs, which I don't know what it is.
Presumably new features, beta feature. I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm not paying for a plan for any of these services.
What is?
Harmony, Logitech Harmony.
Harmony. Oh, yeah, remotes. Right. Perplexity Labs. Harmony. Yes, that's funny. It is a... Oh, no. So it's apparently, according to Google AI, it is a new AI tool by Perplexity AI designed to turn user prompts into complex projects like reports, spreadsheets, dashboards, and even simple web applications. So for what that's worth. And you also get unlimited access to Perplexity Research, which is obviously a tool designed for research and citations, because you get 10 times as many citations and answers. The pro plan also gives you whatever their latest AI models are at any given time, and you can upload unlimited documents. So that is a look at least to the plans that they offer, and you have been using it, and continue telling us about that.
Yeah. So I've also been doing some test web searches where I use Google, and then I use Perplexity for the same search, and it's interesting what you see for results with Google. You get their AI answer at the top, and then you get paid results. And with Perplexity, you get results that are more in line with what you would want to get when you're doing a web search. And it will give you summaries and stuff too. So I'm finding it for the limited testing that I've done to be a much cleaner tool for doing web searches. But I still find myself having to use Google a lot. Now, granted, I haven't done a lot of testing, but for a lot of answers that are a lot of things you're looking up online, because everything is optimized for what Google does. Even with all the other garbage that Google's throwing in and forcing or trying to force you to have to do multiple searches, there are times where you're going to ultimately get better results there. But Perplexity is very interesting, and it looks very promising to me as a search engine.
Right. I see. That makes sense. And, you know, what this would be a huge acquisition for Apple. Perplexity's current valuation, or its most recent valuation, I should say, was $14 billion. So I'm thinking that Apple would have to pony up like $20 billion or more. I'm just pulling that number out of my rear end.
But we should ask Perplexity.
Right? Oh, yeah. All right. Let's do that. Are you doing it?
Hold on. I have to bring up the Perplexity page.
Oh, I've got it. I've got it. How much should Apple pay for Perplexity? Company of $14 billion. So Perplexity is saying that Apple would pretty much need to pay $14 billion. The thing is, that might be what the company is valued at, but the company, any company can charge a premium on itself when someone, when another company wants it.
Sure.
If, you know, and if they can get that company to pay it, I would imagine at the very least that Apple would have to pay somewhere between $14 and $20 billion to acquire Perplexity, far exceeding their $3 billion acquisition of Beats, which this article noted, as well as the articles that it ripped off for its training, noted is Apple's previous record purchase.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Brian, I just did a Perplexity search, and it's the same question that I popped into Google, and it's, is Apple buying Perplexity? And so Google brings up all the sponsored stuff and its little AI thing. Perplexity gives me a bar or a row of articles that are related to my search, and then it has my question actually in question form, followed up with, no, Apple is not currently buying Perplexity, but acquisition talks have been reported. Then it gives me a bullet point list that of current status, and it talks about Apple showing interest in Perplexity, Meta showing interest in Perplexity, and Perplexity publicly denying M&A discussions. And the next section, what's driving the rumors? And it lists out three bullet points along with links for citations. And then follows up with what's next. No deal has been finalized. What regulatory hurdles Apple would have to go through. Then it gives me a summary table of each of the three companies, the status of discussions, outcomes, and official comments. And then follows up with the little conclusion thing and related, I guess, queries.
Okay.
So, yeah. I mean, it's like very detailed and very, very human readable.
Yeah, I like the citations. The citations are good, although I am... I also can't help thinking, yeah, you're citing what you're regurgitating. So it's good that you're citating it.
Yeah.
Excuse me. It's good that you're citing it.
There we go.
But it's not good that you're freaking just regurgitating other people's work.
I'm with you on that. Yep. Yeah. Okay. Another problem with using tools like this for web research, they've given me everything right here without me actually going and reading the articles. Now the citations are here, and I can click on them and then go read the actual articles. But with everything encapsulated in here in the way it is, and by the way, I think Perplexity is doing better at human readable content than OpenAI is. But the point is, I don't have to go to websites to read any of the sources if I don't want to. It's all right here. That's bad for the websites.
Yep. It is bad for the websites. You know, a big problem, I think, with the tech world's gleeful embrace of generative AI stuff is that the ultimate outcome of all this is to make it to where no one has any incentive to produce more content that these companies can rip off.
That's a problem. Yeah. Why would any news source that makes its revenue by having people come to the site and read their news, why would they want to create this content for these other companies, these AI companies, to just regurgitate it back, saving people from going to a
without website. Compensation or permission.
Without compensation or permission. Yep.
Yeah. And I hear regularly from people in the business, people that I knew from the Mac Observer days, mm-hmm. about their companies laying them off and prioritizing non-human writing stuff. And
a lot of that too.
We're in for dark days. We're in for dark days. One way or another. I am sure that good things will come out of this generative AI revolution. I am also sure that we are not close to general artificial intelligence like OpenAI likes to pretend.
I am so with you.
Yeah. OpenAI wants to pretend like they're real close, but they're not. But I am sure that good things will come out of the generative AI revolution. I am also sure that we are in for dark times, both from the standpoint of people that are harmed from the proliferation of false and hallucinated data, let alone the deliberately created bad information. Mm-hmm. Right, deliberately created by people out to create harm. Right, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know where we go. It is probably both nowhere near as bad as I fear, and yet somehow worse at the same time.
yeah. I know you. So yes, this seems like a very plausible outcome. Yeah, it's okay. So it's frustrating because I'm looking at results in Perplexity that are useful mm-hmm. and formatted in a way that makes it easy for me to digest the information. Mm-hmm. At the same time, I appreciate how this information is being collected and presented to me, and that even with all these sources listed, it's not helping those sites that are producing this content.
Right. It seems like Perplexity should be paying for this content, like all of the LLMs. They should be paying to include this content, and they should have to be paying through the nose.
Mm-hmm. That seems fair.
Yeah. All right. So anyway, Apple is being rumored to buy this company because Apple is feeling massive pressure to get its act together on the generative AI front.
Yes, which Apple shouldn't feel that pressure. I mean, they shouldn't have to feel mm-hmm. that pressure. There's the whole netbook thing that they never got into. I think I've brought that up before.
I don't think you've brought that up on this show. I mean, sorry. I don't think you brought it up in this context on this show.
Okay.
So, but you are a little whore when it comes to the shows that you do.
I get around. I do. Yeah.
So, hey, you know, I've
got a lot of love to share, Brian.
Yes. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. But I don't think Apple has an end run around generative AI though.
No.
They did with netbooks.
Do they really need to be in generative AI? There's so many things Apple has already been doing with AI behind the scenes that are designed to be transparent and just make our device experience better overall.
Yeah. And
it's mundane, and I'm okay with mundane, because that helps me.
I would say that Apple is even being punished for making it look so easy. Making it so transparent. I feel like Apple is being punished for the ways that it is used machine learning in its products, and just have some stuff work. But the reality is that Siri is becoming an ever more of an embarrassment.
That's true. Yeah. Which leads to where I see the bigger value in a Perplexity acquisition for Apple. And it's not the generative thing. It's being able to have control over search and to have a system that the S-Lady ties into, where it has a better ability to just communicate with us, but then also a better ability to give us information that we want. I mean, we're at a point now where I shouldn't have to hear my HomePod say that it'll display information on my iPhone for me.
Yes, 100%. Well, you know, by the way, that seems to be a ding, ding, ding on the Apple Home device with the iPad-like screen.
Yep. It does fit in nicely with that, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. So anyway, that is the Apple rumor mill. And I'm confident that there is fire behind the smoke. I'm sure that Apple is absolutely and positively talking to Perplexity about buying them. I am also fairly confident that these are in fact early stages, and that that Apple's probably far from a deal.
But I think that's a very safe assumption.
I think Apple could probably swing the money if they want to.
They've got a lot of money.
They could
swing that money.
They could, yeah.
Yeah.
And so it, you know, really probably is more about whether or not the owners, and I don't even know who that is, of Perplexity, want to be bought, and if they want to be bought by Apple.
Yeah. And it wouldn't surprise me if they're okay being bought. And so then the bigger question is, do they want that buyer to be Apple?
Yeah. Right. All right. Why don't you tell us about our sponsor?
You know, I would love to, because they're a new sponsor, Bezigo Iris. So, Brian, what this is, it's a smart home mosquito detector. And what it does is it uses computer vision and AI to detect, track, and pinpoint mosquitoes in real time in your home or your apartment or your camper or your hotel room, whatever. So you don't have to do the whole guessing and hoping that you're swatting where a mosquito is going to be. You let this be, it's like a laser pointer that precisely marks where a mosquito lands. So you just go for the dot. And so the way it works is that it uses its AI system and its advanced computer vision to scan your space all the time. And as soon as the mosquito lands, it instantly detects and marks that spot for you. And the laser, it is eye safe, so you don't have to worry about a laser suddenly like bouncing around and burning through your eye and leaving a big scorch mark on the wall behind you. Not going to happen.
that seems good.
Yes, and it's chemical free, so you know it's not like you're having to spray something in the air to just hopefully kill mosquitoes. You can find where they are and then figure out where the areas are where mosquitoes are like always hanging out and address them at that point. For someone like me, this is like a really cool idea and product, because I live in an area that's next to where mosquitoes can breed. And we know that there are issues with disease spread and illness spread because of mosquito bites. So this is a great way for someone like me to be able to minimize the mosquito issues in my house. So, Brian, here's the deal. You can stop losing sleep over mosquitoes. Take back your nights with Bzego. So go to bzego.com/discount/buzz10 and save 10% off. That's bzego.com/discount/buzz10. So that's BUZZ10. And use the code buzz10 to get 10% off. And you can say goodbye to itchy bites and sleepless nights. And hey, thank you, Bzego, for sponsoring our show today.
Yeah, that's very exciting. We appreciate it. Yes. So we have some other AI news, and that's Stuart Alsop, Judge Stuart Alsop, basically saying...
I know that name.
Yeah. Basically saying that Anthropic can pretty much rip off whoever it wants, as long as they're not pirating the material.
Right. That's a great summary. So... yeah, so this comes from the Anthropic case where various authors had sued Anthropic for using their content without permission to train their models. And so Judge Alsop, what he said was, if the company, in this case Anthropic, but whatever AI company, if they go and buy the books and or buy the content and then feed that into their system, that's okay. That's fair use. But if they go out and do, I believe it was Meta that went to pirate sites and downloaded books and used that to train their models.
Anthropic did this too.
Oh, and Anthropic did it too. Okay. So going to a pirate site and downloading materials, books, whatever, and then feeding that into your model, that's not acceptable. That is stealing. And it applies even if you use the pirated material, but then later on buy that actual content because you used it when it was pirated. So
whatever.
Yeah. So now... Google or Anthropic or Meta or OpenAI, whoever, they can go to a bookstore and buy one of every book, take them back to their offices, scan them into their model for training, and that's
or
okay.
Buy ebooks.
Or
and,
buy
and just buy e-books. You know and just you know turn them in that way. I have a real problem with this. Libraries, I don't know, not everyone may be aware of this, but libraries have to pay for the books that they lend to their members, right? I'm sure that mm-hmm. people realize that those books are paid for. What they may not realize is that they're often paying considerably more for those books. And it usually right. comes with a provision that they can be lent X number of times or for X amount of years.
Well, that's primarily for ebooks.
No.
For actual books, isn't there more leeway in- Like the books actually wear out before they would hit any point where they would be required to replace them.
Well, maybe that's true. Let's see. Do libraries have to
policies?
Okay, I stand corrected.
But you're absolutely right for ebooks. It's It's shockingly restrictive and shockingly expensive for libraries.
Right. Well, so the publisher gets to set the price that an ebook has on it for libraries. The publisher for my book, mm-hmm. which is a self-published book, is me. So I think the various library-oriented distributors that I was when I was putting my book together for those distributors, they basically said, "Yeah, you should ask for like $18 for your book from libraries," and you know, even though it's $4.99 everywhere else. And I think I ended up putting in $9.99 for what that's worth. And I've had a few libraries mm-hmm. buy it, which is freaking awesome. But anyway, the point is that that is the price is set by the publisher, and the terms are pretty much someone set those terms. I don't know what those terms are, but they're generally speaking, they can be checked out, say 25 times or 20 times.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would have to buy another license. The deal with physical books being largely related to how long they last, that makes sense. That's actually literally a physical limitation on the media.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So the fact that that exists, and that does exist probably more as a result of negotiations between the publishers back in the day and libraries back in the day than it has anything to do with current regulations or laws. But ruling that these companies can just buy and just use for, it's so wrong. I don't.
I agree. I don't feel like this ruling gives us an appropriate solution to how do we deal with AI companies using books and other media for training their models.
Yeah, especially models. Like it's one thing for this ruling to apply to models where the LLM knows something, and I'm knows is doing a lot of lifting in that. It's another thing when the LLM is designed to churn out, you know, quote unquote material, be it songs, be it images, be it books, be it movies, when it's can just rip us off. Mm-hmm. I'm frustrated by this.
I'm frustrated too. Where we are today, I can see where there's value in these systems, and it's not always a value that a lot of people are perceiving for themselves. For me, the value is where does this go in the long run, and does it help us with research and information collection? But still, you can't be stealing the content. And right now, we're in this murky place where you and I perceive this as stealing content. But the AI companies and now Judge Alsup are saying, no, it's not stealing. That's just fair use.
Yeah. Yeah. So Stuart Alsup is a solid jurist. I'm frustrated by this decision. I don't know that he was wrong. He may be actually right.
Well, I'm assuming that this will be appealed.
Yep.
And yeah, so we'll see if his ruling stands. Yeah.
So none of the coverage that I found on this case mentioned whether or not the plaintiffs would appeal.
Huh, interesting. I would be shocked if they didn't.
I mean, yeah.
Judge Alsup, he's at a level in the court system where you can appeal. So, I mean, the only place you can't is once you hit the Supreme Court. But, yeah, I think they would be remiss in their responsibility to defend themselves if they did not appeal.
Yeah. They might not be able to afford it, though. I don't know what the terms of their agreement with their attorneys is. I don't know anything about these people. I haven't even heard of them as authors.
I don't even know if the EFF is involved.
Yeah.
This seems like a thing that they would want to be involved in.
Yeah, they may be involved in other cases. There are lots of cases. And there's the Disney and is it Paramount that's suing Midjourney?
Universal. I think it's Disney and Universal.
Yeah, I think you're right. So, you know, there you have three heavyweights in terms of money, at least. You have Disney, Universal, and OpenAI. No, not. Mm-hmm. Who's behind Midjourney?
Midjourney is not OpenAI.
Nope.
It's not Perplexity.
Nope.
I cannot remember which one is Midjourney.
By whom? Midjourney is co-founded Midjourney. Midjourney. It's Midjourney Inc.
Oh, I thought it was part like it was a product for one of the other companies.
I thought so too.
But well, there we go. Midjourney is Midjourney.
Right. So
just like everyone has been yelling at their iPhones and speakers right now. Sorry, we couldn't hear you. We had headphones in.
That's fair. So yeah, it is I absolutely worry that I am being that I'm putting my head in the sand, or that I'm being a Luddite. And Luddites, so my deal with the Luddites is that they went and broke a bunch of stuff just because they didn't want to have to compete with that stuff. And
that's not exactly true. They broke a bunch of stuff because they felt that they were being unfairly replaced when they didn't need to be. And it's because the companies.
What does that counter? How does that counter what I said?
Okay. So.
They don't want to be replaced versus they don't want to compete. That's best.
It's a nuance. But anyhow, the way most people look at the term Luddite, the history is written by the victors. And in this case, the victors were the companies that ultimately got rid of workers because they had machines and, yeah.
Right. That is not my issue with the Luddites. My issue with the Luddites is that they just didn't want to have to compete. I should say that most people look at the issue with Luddites as being people who don't like new technology. They don't like change.
Right, and that's the way the companies that prevailed wanted us to see the Luddites. Here's the bigger thing, though. When I hear you talking about the issues that you have with where we're going with AI, I don't perceive it as a Luddite thing, either based on the way the perception that the Luddites had, or the perception that the companies presented after they prevailed. I see this more as you are the kind of person that is going into this where you want to be making informed decisions, and some of the decisions that you will have to make at some point, you are uncomfortable with because you're not comfortable with the way these models are being created.
Well, that plus I utterly resent the fact that these companies can not that they're likely to care about my book, but they can take my book, stick it in their machine, and then allow someone else, or they themselves can quote unquote write a book that is using the product of my work to make their product.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I don't by any means think that anyone cares enough about my writing to target me. I'm talking about the principle of it. I'm talking about the fact that they can do that to Dan Simmons, to Stephen King, to Anne McCaffrey, to Andre Norton. You know, they could do that to filmmakers. Mm-hmm. They can do it to artists. It's
musicians.
Yeah, musicians.
Everyone. Yeah. No one is safe from having their content taken without authorization or permission or compensation. It's a thing that can and is happening to everyone.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. That there was a tool online that has since disappeared, and I wish I still had the link for it so I could tell everyone what it was. But you could do a search through this tool to see if content you had created had been used by various companies to train their AI models. And then it would list, yes, this is where you have stuff that you've created, and these are the systems that that trained off of your content. And so you mentioned Mac Observer earlier. So, Brian, everything you and I ever did for Mac Observer has been used by all the models.
Oh, yeah, 100%. To train. 100%. 100%. And yes, that is also super frustrating. All right. Yep. I think we ought to, before my blood pressure blows
before,
the gasket.
Before you, yeah, we don't want you, well, we don't want anyone to get so upset that you end up having a stroke over it, because we all know that would be really bad.
Yeah, been there, done that. So... that is this week's Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on that or question, you can write us at contextmachinepodcast@gmail.com. Our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly. The bass is by Dr. Boom, recorded just for this show. And that's all for this week.
Also, thank you to Bzygo Iris for being our sponsor. And go hit them up, bzygo.com/discount/buzz10 to get 10% off your order. Thank you for being our sponsor.
Thank you very much. And with that note,
after this note,
top freaking men,
top men
in this case.